Welcome to Spirit in Action. My name is Mark Helpsmeet, and each week we bring you visits and conversations with people doing healing work for this world, hearing what they're doing and what inspires them and supports them in doing it. Welcome to Spirit in Action. The USA has a complicated and discouraging medical system, and it seems like it only gets worse and worse. But from time to time, we get a possible sign of an alternative which could vastly improve the way we get health care. And these changes can even be born out of what appears to be a very scary collapse. Anyone paying attention knows that health care in the U.S. costs more than twice what it does in any other country, and it almost takes a Ph.D. to navigate the laws, rules, and procedures involved. So when two major hospitals of the Chippewa Valley of Wisconsin announced this past year that they were shuttering their doors in just a few months, and we're talking about hospitals that were central to the communities here, there was major consternation and fear. Which brings us to today's guest, Robert Krause, and the organization that he is spearheading called the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative. We're used to nonprofit and for-profit hospitals, but this is the first case I have heard of which proposes a cooperatively owned hospital. I've loved the cooperative structure with its application in a wide range of fields. In fact, my home telephone service is via a co-op, my electricity is provided by a co-op, my bank is actually a credit union, which means it's also a co-op, and of course, I am a member of my local food co-op. But I had not thought previously of a community-owned medical system, except in terms of government-provided medical care like the VA. So when Sacred Heart and St. Joseph's hospitals closed recently, collapsing and restructuring a major part of our local economy, the proposal for the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative was created by Bob Krause and several other business-savvy and community-concerned people. It looks like it now is moving forward, possibly creating the first cooperative model for community medical care in the U.S. Is this possibly a first step towards a U.S.-based alternative to corporate medicine? Robert Bob Krause joins us today via Zoom to talk about the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative. Bob, thanks so much for joining me for Spirit in Action.
Thank you, Mark, for inviting us on.
It's been a long time since we've been together. How many years has it been since you've been on the basketball court?
Well, I'm 70 years old now. I would guess probably 12 to 13 years.
That's about when I stopped, too.
Okay, I could come back on with a moment's notice if you give me the word.
Maybe we should have a reunion game down at the Y?
Yes, where else?
Of course. Were you living as far north as you are now back when you used to come regularly? Was it just during the workday you dropped in?
No. Back in that era, I lived just south of Eau Claire. We moved up to the New Auburn area 3 years ago. So around 2021, I think it was.
So is there any connection, any relationship between the Y membership, playing basketball, the work you were doing, and the sponsorship for the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative? Are they linked?
Well, I had to think about that. I don't know how they would be linked, except maybe through the people I met. When I was playing ball at the Y, I met and still have so many of those friends. And I think those friends were and are inspirational. Matter of fact, I saw several people last night at a community meeting we had for their new hospital. And I think that was probably the strongest thing I could share on that.
I imagine in some way, though, your pursuit of health and health in community. We were playing pickup ball. This wasn't league teams or anything that we always met at. I have a sense that you have been a community-minded person and that this grows out of that as well.
I think that's accurate. When my wife Lois and I first came to town in 79, we were adopted by an individual, John Homestead, who I think really nurtured in us the importance of investing and giving back to the community. His thoughts and leadership to this day still guide me. It was not a religious. It was community, totally community, that he taught us how important it was to give back to our community.
Well, as we talk about the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative, I think our listeners who are all over the country and outside the U.S. as well, we need to give them an idea of what this is about, why this is happening. Give us a history about what led to the creation of the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative.
First, and I'm not saying this because it's important, but it's a point of reference I want you to understand. I served on the board of directors for about 10 to 12 years for Sacred Heart Hospital, period. In January of this year, two of our area hospitals in the Chippewa Valley, Sacred Heart Hospital and St. Joseph's Hospital, both owned by Hospital Sisters Health System out of Springfield, Illinois, shut their doors with a very limited time to respond to it. I think the announcement was made in maybe late 23, and then they closed in January of 24. And those two hospitals closing, they cause both a medical void and are causing an economic void. The medical void included about 22,000 ER visits per year. That also included roughly 800 moms giving births per year at those two facilities. It also included about 1,400 employees that were working in or around those two facilities, depending on what they were doing. And it impacted about 120 professionals, physicians, nurse practitioners, etc., that now were without a home. As your listeners may understand, doctors have to have a hospital to practice at. Not all hospitals will give the doctors privileges to work at their hospital. Now, our area includes 18 different counties, and it's north and south of Eau Claire in Chippewa. But the counties that we have include Barron, Buffalo, Burnett, Chippewa, Clark, Dunn, Eau Claire, Jackson, Pepin, Pierce, Polk, Price, Rusk, Sawyer, St. Croix, Taylor, Trempealeau, and Washburn. Now, that's a big area. And the reason that we're supporting that area is because we pulled up state data that gave us the zip codes where patients were from that were being served by those two hospitals, and that those were the counties that were included. So the other void that was created, and it's not as visible, is the economic void. I'll give you one example. Those 800 moms that were planning on giving birth in 2024 at those two hospitals, I'm pretty sure they're still going to go forward and have those babies. However, there is no capacity, from what we've been reported on from the other hospitals in the area, to support those moms. So those moms and their loved ones, whether it's their partners or whether it's their mom and dad or grandparents or whatever, they're picking up and they're going to other communities so they can have their babies. Now, when they go there, they're going there early. They aren't going on the day the babies do. They're getting there early. And in that, they're taking the economy that would normally be in the Chippewa Valley region to a different location. That impact is much more subtle. It's going to be hard for us to record it live, but it's happening right now. The reason I know that is because we're getting many, many stories from the patients. So there's a need. Basically, when those two hospitals closed down, roughly one third of the capacity was removed. And the present two hospitals that are serving our communities can't absorb it. No one could. It's not their fault that they're over busy and they apparently have patients in hallways, long wait times. It's not their fault. They're great hospitals. They have great staff, great physicians. They just cannot absorb the 30% that was taken out of our market.
So why did Sacred Heart and St. Joseph's close down? What was it? I mean, the demands there, evidently. But why did they have to close down then?
We don't know. We don't have a dialogue with them except for one transaction that we're proposing. But many of our leaders in this region have reached out and asked them. I don't know if they got a clear answer to why they closed down. When I was on the board, Sacred Heart, at least, was very profitable. They were sending excess profits back to Springfield. Now, are there troubles in other areas of their system? They probably have 11 or 12 hospitals in the Midwest. And I have no idea why they closed down, because from what we can tell, they were profitable. And that's important to us, because the new hospital we're going to build has to be sustainable. Because without sustainability, I can't put my name on it going forward. We have to have a hospital that is sustainable. So we've done quite a bit of work that I can share with you over the last 9 months to show you how what our due diligence has been. So I don't know that answer.
What were the years that you served on the board for Sacred Heart Hospital?
It was probably about 15 years ago.
So you weren't privy to the information near the end, what was going on. One thing that I heard, though, about Sacred Heart was, again, this is by a Catholic order that was motivating, supplying, where some of the workforce, not all of it by any means, I think when they started the hospital, they actually had a religious, spiritual purpose in mind for having this hospital. And so I think that may be different than what Marshfield or Mayo hospitals have here. Do you have any sense of that? I mean, you served on the board, so I think you must have seen some aspect of the business, which was not just how do we make a buck.
Yes. First of all, when the sisters came to the Chippewa Valley, it was in probably the 1850s, maybe a little bit after that, but it was probably 1870s they came here. And they came here because there were so many injuries caused by logging activity that the people who were hurt had no means to support themselves when they were hurt. They had no adequate medical care. When I served, I was the first civilian board chair of Sacred Heart Hospital. Before that, it had always been sisters. Now, there are less and less sisters in the order now than there were even back then. So I think the writing was on the wall that they had the transition and they still had the spirit. I mean, if they would call me now and ask me to do something, I would do it because they instilled that much in me. And there was others that they employed at the hospitals that also had and have that spirit. Very strong. And I don't know if it's necessarily religious. I think it's just a mission to try to help the people around us.
Nonprofit used to be the norm for much of the medical field, for hospitals for sure. And now it's very much of a minority in the field. Could you talk about something you've seen in your lifetime? You and I are the same age. We've seen this transition happen during our lifetime away from not-for-profit, I guess you'd say charitable institutions, to something that's just, well, how do we make a better buck?
Yeah, I think I'd push back. I don't have the data in front of me, but all the hospitals in our region are not-for-profit. That does not mean they have a mission. That means that they have a registration with the IRS that allows them certain benefits as being not-for-profit. Now, the sisters, up until when I was serving, they not only had a not-for-profit mission, but they clearly had a mission to help the neighbors around us. That's why they came to the area and they continued. But for whatever reason, and I'm not privy to the reasons, they could not navigate those waters at the beginning of this year, so they closed things down. And they had much more going on in the Chippewa Valley, more than just the hospital services. They had alcohol services that people may not know about. That was shut down at a different building. They had behavioral health, which is very expensive, not profit-making at all, so it's a cost center. They had many different cost centers that were draining them. So when we come back and we build a new hospital, it's going to be a more modern hospital, and we have to make it sustainable. Will we have a mission? Yes. But we're going to do things a little bit different. We're going to do things for our neighbor.
So you would say you're charitable as well as not-for-profit?
Yes.
One thing that I heard, and I don't know if you can affirm this or not, but that Sacred Heart Hospital was different than the other two major hospitals in Eau Claire in that they took an extra load of people who were in need, I guess you'd say. I don't know that hospitals can turn people away who lack means to pay, but that Chippewa Valley regularly got a higher percentage of that than others. Do you know anything about that? I mean, I read it in the newspaper, but I'm not sure what the stats are exactly.
Yeah, we might have shared that with him because this is public record knowledge because all hospitals have to report, I think it's monthly, to the state, and that information is published. So we pulled it up. And that information, according to the state, is accurate, that they had a higher percentage of their revenue that was non-reimbursable. And that would either be Medicaid patients presenting at the ER and or people without any kind of insurance. And that's more common than what we might want to believe. Now, some of those patients may have gone to other hospitals first, and they got referred to Sacred Heart. I don't know that. I'm not part of the administration, but the question you're asking is accurate based on the data that we've read from the state of Wisconsin.
So let's talk a little bit about how you and others got into this. Were you the first person to say, hey, folks, let's get together? Or was this a group of people, someone came to you? You became the board president, but were you the initiator of the efforts for the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative?
Well, no, I'm more humble than that. I think what happened was I was in seeing my personal physician, and the announcement came out of the closing of the hospitals, and we were both dumbfounded because my doctor also served, because he has privileges at Sacred Heart. We were just dumbfounded, and I said some things saying, you know, something like, we can do better than this. A couple of days later, I get a call from some people who were thinking the same thoughts. So we had a planning meeting or a organization meeting, and we met, I think, probably 2 weeks after the announcement of the closing, which is pretty quick. And the people who are on our organizing committee, there's seven of us. Some are retired, some are still working, but there's seven of us. We're from Eau Claire or Chippewa. That's where we reside, Eau Claire or Chippewa County. We're also lucky enough to have a physician group that is helping us through their advice. Because what we're doing, none of us have true medical experience or history who are organizing this movement. So we need help. And the doctors that we're trying to support, and they're behind us, they quite frankly need a hospital. And, you know, I've told this story before. There's three components to what we're doing. There's a building, and that's important, but the building is simply, I hire somebody, I buy some bricks, and those people put the bricks in the ground, and we have a hospital. Now, I know it's more sophisticated than that, but that's the easy part. The other two parts, one is the patients. Now, the patients are not going to move out of the area very readily. So there's 22,000, roughly, patients that need a medical home. Third component in this three-legged stool are the docs. And to me, that is the most important. And that's an economic impact. So we're trying to keep them in the area, because if they would leave en masse, it would be a devastating blow to the Chippewa Valley. I think that the blow would be much more serious than what the Uniroyal pullout was in the 90s. Many of the listeners don't know about the Uniroyal pullout, but it was a large tire company in Eau Claire,
which was one of the biggest employers, or I think the biggest employer. I moved here in 1988, and it closed just a couple of years after that. And wow, the impact on the downtown in Eau Claire was massive. And you say that you think this would be even bigger?
If we don't respond and are not successful in what we're doing, I believe this has a larger and longer-lasting negative economic impact in our communities.
Let's talk about what your plans are. You had a press release this last week, about a week ago, about your plans to go ahead with the facility. And just in the last day or two, you announced working on an agreement with St. Joseph's Hospital in Chippewa Falls, which is just maybe 12 miles north of Eau Claire, roughly. I have a lot of knowledge about Sacred Heart because when I had malaria in 1990, that's where I was. When my wife dealt with cancer 7 years ago, she spent about 6 weeks total over the course of a couple months in Sacred Heart for her chemo treatments. There, so many of us have grateful memories of the service that Sacred Heart brought to us. Sacred Heart is a massive building. I have no idea how many doctors, nurses, everything were in there and how many hospital beds, but it was big. I have no idea really about St. Joseph's. What's it comparatively? How big was it? Is it?
How big is it? Let me just digress for a second because you brought something up that's very interesting. Cancer. There is currently not enough capacity in the Chippewa Valley to adequately treat patients. Now, what is the demand? Well, there's between 30 and 45 people or neighbors that are presenting cancer symptoms per month, unfortunately. when we get off this off the, well, we're going to probably introduce a cancer center very soon. One of the things that we're doing is the hospital that we're going to be building, we're contemplating building the cancer center first and then adding the hospital to it, just because there's so much demand and the inconvenience of people having to travel 90 minutes to get treatments is not acceptable. We can do better.
You mean to the Twin Cities, to Minneapolis, St. Paul?
Twin Cities or Madison. A lot are going to Madison.
Well, that's a three-hour trip.
Yeah, that's even longer. And this is a commercial, but we have a list of naming rights. And I hope someone comes forward and says, I will invest in this cancer center because we're willing to put it up first. It's about $21 million. We're happy to have the money coming in without anyone's name attached to it, or we can attach naming rights. But this is a huge need that our neighbors are experiencing every month. Now, you asked about St. Joseph's Hospital. St. Joseph's Hospital is roughly 50 years old. It was, the cornerstone says 1975. It's an old, tired building. I walked through an empty hospital 2 weeks after they closed it down because we had permission from the realtor to do that. And I'll tell you, it was an eerie feeling walking through an empty hospital. I don't know how to describe it. I think there was still spirit in it. I felt that, but it was very eerie. And it had been operating 2 weeks prior. I mean, things were still intact. There's still equipment there. I don't know. I think it's seven floors. I'm not even sure. I should know how many floors there are, but I think it's seven floors. They have a fairly new emergency room. They made that investment that not that many years ago. They invested just recently in birthing rooms. So that's something that we could open up pretty quickly. And there's also things we can do there for some of the other medical services that we're considering. Now, the St. Joseph's building and land, I made an offer to HSHS, that's the owners, 3 weeks after they closed down. And there was no response that was given. So 2 weeks later, my offer expired, and I asked the attorney to actually pull the offer, to rescind it. And he did. And 3 weeks ago, so we weren't even focusing on Sacred Heart until 3 weeks ago. They either had a new realtor or something. They recontacted me and he said, are you still interested? I says, well, tell me in what am I interested and tell me what your interest is. So we had a chat back and forth. I said, yes, we're interested. I revised our offer a little bit, mainly timing things. And that was accepted last week. What that offer includes is that we would buy the building, the land, all the equipment that's still inside. Some has been removed, but a lot of it is still inside. And we have so many days now to do our diligence on this investment. And I call it an investment because we have to make sure that if we take this hospital over and try to resurrect it, that it's going to be possible, which means we're going to start our due diligence tomorrow. We have hired architects and engineers to go in there with us tomorrow morning to dig deep to find out, are there any surprises? And if there are surprises, we can bear some of those. But if there's a surprise saying, you know, you got to tear down the building or you have to invest $50 million, that doesn't make sense because we need to make sure that it's sustainable. And if the information comes back and it's too strong for us to bear, we'll have to pivot back to our main focus. And our main focus is to build a new hospital. Now, we might find out that the opposite. We might find out in 2 weeks that it's very doable. If that happens, the people on our board and our advisors are going to ask me to push the metal to the pedal, or whatever that saying is.
Yeah, the pedal to the metal, yes.
So that's where we are. We've been very transparent on most things. We were not transparent on our negotiations with buying St. Joseph's because we weren't sure of it yet. We're trying not to do anything or not disclose anything until we have something in writing, because I don't want to have someone say, well, you weren't truthful. We're trying to be as truthful as we are able to.
Let's give our listeners across U.S., and partly I'm interested in airing this visit with Bob Krause, also known as Robert Krause, who's chair of the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative. I'm airing this because I know that medical care across this country, there's urgent cases everywhere and needs that are not being met, in part because some people are not so concerned about their neighbors as they are about their dollar. I don't want to besmirch doctors or just administrators or anything. It's part of a system, and it works in a different way than is optimal for our people in this country. So I'm really excited. When I saw the information, I saw your name attached to it, Bob. I was so excited to think that there's someone who's coming at this from a different angle. I personally believe in national health care, that we should have universal health care, as happens. There's the 33 leading nations of the world. The other 32 have been able to pull it together, and they do things for half the cost that we have here in the United States. So I fully believe that there's a better solution. And you're doing this as a health cooperative. We're going to get in the details of what that means as compared to the other hospitals here. But one of the things that I've been curious about, so Marshfield built their hospital here only several years ago. Before that, there was Mayo and there was Sacred Heart. Now there was a third one, and Sacred Heart seems to have lost out in this competition. I'm assuming that other places like Mayo and Marshfield are amping up some of their abilities. Of course, they can't just put down a new building very easily either, but I assume they're stepping up to take up some of the slack.
Well, I'm, of course, not privy to what they're doing, but the reports that we're getting are that they are. But you're exactly right. You can't just put a new building in the ground. From what I understand, that they've expanded a lot of their services to try to address capacity issues. But no one can absorb 30% that's taken out of the market. It's virtually impossible. And you just mentioned a word which I want to push back a little bit. You used the word competition. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I think some of the hospitals that are in our area or were in our area think that we were competing. I've met personally with one of the three hospital systems in the last month, and that would be Marshfield, which is going to be, I think, taken over by Sanford Health, and with Aspirus. They want to come in the area. I have not met personally with the Mayo leadership yet, but I'd like to. Both of those two facilities did come with that attitude. And I pushed back with them. I said, wait a minute, this should not be competition. It should be cooperation. Competition is the wrong way, because we want the patients to win here. You know, I don't care what your market share is, but let's focus on the results for the patients who are our neighbors. And quite frankly, I didn't get the kind of response I wanted, but I'm not going to put that down. I'm going to bring that up again. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
I think you did. And let's just point out to our listeners, the program is Spirit in Action. Our website is northernspiritradio.org. We've been doing these programs for 19 and a half years and bringing this not only to the Chippewa Valley area where we started, WHYS Radio here, wonderful station here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, but now there's some 35-plus stations across the nation carrying our programs. So if you come to northernspiritradio.org, you can track down those folks. You can track down all of our guests from the past years, and we have links to them. So there is a link to ChippewaValleyHealthCooperative.org, where Bob Krause is president of the board. And you'll find all of our other guests of these past years, both for our Spirit in Action and Song of the Soul programs. So please come, visit, post comments. We love communication that's two-way. We want to listen to you. You're listening to us right now. Please help us complete that circle. And also, while you're here, you can donate. Northern Spirit Radio runs by donations of our listeners, not from corporations or from government, which is a significant difference. And it means we're serving our listeners, not anyone else. And I want to get into that portion of why the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative would be different than other hospitals. Let's go back now to Bob Krause. I've known Bob for, I don't know what it is, 30 years or something like that.
At least.
Yeah, and a wonderful guy and part of a wonderful group of men and some women who we used to play pickup ball with down at the YMCA here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Bob, something I didn't ask. Why don't you give our listeners some idea of your background professionally? You're stepping into this. You weren't a doctor. You weren't a nurse. You weren't a hospital administrator, even though you served on the board for Sacred Heart Hospital. What's your professional background that makes you ready to take on this really very large job?
Well, professionally, I have degrees, undergrad degrees in accounting and finance. So I work as a CPA for several years, and then I started investing in small businesses in the Chippewa Valley. And I owned those until 2014. Then I sold to a larger company and I guess retired 2014. Yeah, that's about right. It's only 10 years. So that's my background. But to be quite honest, there was nothing in my background that could have prepared me for some of the opportunities that we're experiencing. And I guess maybe I'm not very smart. So when I'm doing certain things, I lunge forward with the hope that there's an answer on the other side.
Maybe a prayer too.
Contemplation for sure. You know, I got to be clear on this. I'm sitting in a room once a week. We've had meetings for 9 months. And one of the main reasons I'm in there because they have someone round off the bell-shaped curve. So if you know what bell-shaped curves are, I'm on the bottom end.
I don't believe that, Bob, but
but there have been, I don't want to call them challenges, they're more opportunities, but we've been able so far to address things that potentially would be roadblocks and then move through them. For example, early on, we said, you know, we're going to need some money because it's going to cost money to get through this first planning stage. We needed planning funds so we could move forward. For example, one of the most important things we needed to be prepared was a pro forma. And a pro forma is a set of financial statements telling our lenders that our investment in a new hospital will be sustainable. Without that, lenders, people who want to give us money, they have to have that to justify what they're doing. That took over $100,000, and it took until about a month and a half ago to have it completed. And it came back very positive. Now, it came back positive because when we first went into the accountants to have them do this, and these are national firms that come in and do this. This is not Mary Bookkeeper down the road here. These are high-powered people that know hospitals and they know operating costs. We had grandiose plans to build a 150-bed hospital, you know, 12 ERs, but we're not doing that. Our plan right now calls for 140,000 square feet. I think it's 48 beds.
12-bed intensive care unit.
4 operating rooms. That's what it took to get to the right format so that we could be sustainable financially, because that's important to us. We're not interested in building something and then it blowing away in 12 or 20 years. We want this to be something that's going to be there and be built upon for the next 200 years. So, you know, I don't know if I had any kind of background. I guess I know financing, I know accounting, I understand reading financial statements. That's important. But I think probably enjoying working with people. I say that humbly. I enjoy it. I'm not always sure I'm the best person. I told people first day, I said, I'm never going to be charged with having too much tact. So if I say something, don't take it personally. But I'm short with certain things that I think are not going in a direction that's going to help us achieve our mission.
I experienced that on the basketball court with you too. You're direct and you're going there. Wham. I think one place where you're perhaps selling yourself a little bit short, there are small businesses you've worked with. You know how to help an organization continue. That's valuable background that some people never gain those skills, and you clearly had them. The other thing that I think is helpful is you don't seem too big on ego. That is to say, it doesn't have to be about you. It has to be about someone else. And personally, for the betterment of our neighbors, it's helpful to have people who are not into just ego, but who are looking at something bigger. I did ask you this before we got on air. You were born, raised, and you continue as a Catholic. Was that a prerequisite, by the way, to serving on the board for Sacred Heart?
You know, that's a good question. And I don't know, when they chose me, I think they chose me because I was serving on one of their committees for 5 years, and I would always ask questions. The question that I was taught early on to ask when you're on a committee or a board, someone presents something, and the biggest question you can ask them is why? And they need to be able to answer that. And I think I held them accountable. Now, I think it was helpful, and I don't think I would have been board chair of Sacred Heart if I wasn't Catholic. And I know that because there were certain managers at Sacred Heart could only go so high if they were Catholic. That always bewildered me. You know, I don't want to be disloyal to anyone, but if we have a good person that can do something and he or she is proven, I don't know why the religion matters. But, you know, I'm not very smart.
Well, I think you already supplied the answer to that question, and that is when they're considering you for a position, they ask why. Motivation is important. So it's not just ability that matters, motivation matters. And hopefully you want to combine the two.
Yes.
That's what you're heading in the direction of. I'm still going to hold off a little bit more on why this is a cooperative. And evidently you're moving forward, and the St. Joseph's Hospital is evidently a likely or maybe very probable, I'm not sure how which percentage to use to designate it, but that it's going to be a site where at least interim, before the other hospital gets built, it's a place where you can start up and serve some of these unmet needs that exist in the Chippewa Valley. Can you assign a probability to that, a likelihood in your mind? And are you going to start up the equivalent of the new hospital that you're building, running in a much bigger space? What's the intent and direction that you're going in?
First of all, our main focus is building a new hospital in Lake Halley, period.
Which people should know is basically between Chippewa Falls and Eau Claire.
Yeah, it's on one of the main north-south arterial freeways in our region. So it's very easy to get to, not only by patients, but by providers and emergency personnel. That was very important to us. That's our main focus. So we've got people that are only working on that. We have a projection. If we put a shovel in the ground first quarter of 25, we might open it, probably will open it in late 27. That's a long time for patients to hold on, to postpone their needs, and also providers to hold on because they have to make a living. So this bridge at St. Joseph's in Chippewa Falls is only, I think it's 9 miles away. It's very close, but it would be a bridge that we could start providing services much more quickly than we would otherwise. Now, probability. You know, I'm an accountant, and I'm also an optimist, but until I get the engineers and architects reporting back telling me what they found, I really can't comment. Maybe it's 50-50. You know, I guess I am optimist. 50-50. You know, I'm very optimistic, and not just because what I saw when I walked through there, but I'm not a trained engineer or architect, is I saw a possibility there. And the people that we had a community meeting last night that had about 400 people attend from the areas. And the hope that I heard in their voices when we announced the St. Joseph's investment is going to, I think, force us to increase that probability. There's a lot of hope in our communities because this is a possibility to bring back services more quickly.
Is there a difference between the medical professionals who want to be part of the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative and those elsewhere? Is there something about the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative that is calling certain professionals?
Well, first of all, most large hospitals have their physicians employed. So everyone in the hospital is typically employed. Not 100%, but a high percentage are employees of that facility, whether it's Mayo or Marshfield or Aspirus. The people that are supporting us through their advice were subcontractors or independent physicians at Sacred Heart and St. Joseph's. So they are not employed by anyone. They're self-employed individuals who have one focus, and that is the best results for their patients. That's all they focus on, and they typically will have more hands-on than a hospital-employed physician. The reason I'm saying that is because there's a lot of protocol and layers at larger hospitals, and for the independent group that was working with us, they typically want to be with their patients through all phases of their care, not pass them off, and they've proven over the years that there are better results by having that format. And they've been, the independent physician group in our area has been around for 40 years. So very strong group. I think they have most specialties covered. I think there's a few that are not, but most specialties are covered. I just recently was at a party and I was with some physicians who were at hospitals that are employees of the hospital. And he told me candidly that they are supportive of what we're doing. So it's not the doctors. The doctors that I know from the other facilities understand what their focus is, and that is getting the best results for their patients. So that's the difference.
We're getting into the area of why this is a health cooperative versus some other structure. You said that the other hospitals in this area are technically a nonprofit as well. You'll be nonprofit, but you'll be a cooperative. And one of the reasons this grabbed my eye, Bob, when I saw it in the news, is because I've been a part of food cooperatives. My energy comes from a cooperative here. My telephone landline is a cooperative here. Cooperatives used to be vital for so many areas of the country, reaching particularly people who the big city people didn't want to come out and take care of us. So I've been part of boards of cooperatives, and I find them to be a really desirable and advantageous approach. Talk to me about what that means in terms of the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative. And full disclosure, I signed up and became a lifetime member. So I'm part of your effort, because right from the beginning, I was clear that this is something that's really good and maybe lacking. I don't know if there are health cooperatives like this elsewhere. So tell me about why it's the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative.
Good. We decided early on that a cooperative form of entity was going to be the best for us, for a bunch of reasons, and I'll get into those. I heard this last night. There's something like 3.5 million people in Wisconsin that belong to cooperatives. That's how strong cooperatives are in our part of the country. I mean, that's a huge number. I don't know what the population is, maybe 6.5 million, but there's a lot of people. And you're right. It is primarily rural areas. It's not in big cities. The power that we're getting for the new hospital is going to be on the Eau Claire Electric Cooperative. They've been very supportive. The reason we decided for this kind of entity is, first of all, we have received phenomenal help from the University Extension Office out of Madison. They have been present at every one of our meetings, and they advised us. We asked them, because they're attorneys that the state is providing us, at no charge. It's the resources that we're getting and the cooperation from the government, both state and federal. It's unbelievable. I mean, that's probably the one thing that shocked me in a positive way most. We asked them what kind of entity would make sense. And they suggested to us, and we agreed, that a cooperative made the most sense, period. Next paragraph is that the other hospitals are formed as corporations, typically non-stock corporations, but nonetheless corporations. And they are governed by entities that are typically not in our community. Mayo has headquarters in Rochester. Sacred Heart has headquarters in Springfield, Illinois. Marshfield has headquarters in Marshfield, Wisconsin. So all of the governance, even though we think we have a local board, all of the decisions, governance, and payment of monies back to those headquarters will no longer be. That's what we're stopping. We want an entity, this new hospital, and it's going to include other services, but for now, that's our mission, is going to be owned by its members, governed by its members. The decisions are going to be made by its members, and any excess profits are going to be kept here and not pushed back to some other state or some other community, because we need to make sure that the hospital is sustainable and it's going to be profitable. And we also have to invest in people, new technology, and future things we don't even know about now. So that's why the cooperative, and without even hardly advertising it. I mean, we have had some things go out on social media, but as of last night, I think we have like 900 members. So it's really growing, and it's growing, or in the last 3 weeks, it's been growing organically.
Well, with your announcements of actual plans for what you're going to be building, your exploration with St. Joseph's to use that, you're bringing it into quick focus for folks. And of course, it makes a difference.
I think you're right.
I was looking through your bylaws, which are available via the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative.org website, and I noticed there are three classes of members. There are general members, community members like me. There are professional members. I think these are doctors and nurses. I don't know exactly what is included there. And there are customers as well. The first two classes of members get to vote for the board. So I'll get to vote for the board. By the way, when are elections?
The elections are in June of 25. Because we're under Chapter 186, I think, of the state law, we have to give proper notice. And we're going to start doing that very soon to our members.
Mm-hmm.
So June is the election.
And I was interested that there was also this customer brand of membership, which is non-voting in terms of the board. So why that class? What does that mean? And what is the overall difference between a professional, a community, and a customer membership?
You know, I even looked at the bylaws for quite a while, but the things that I'm focusing on are the regular members, like you and I, and then the professionals. And the physicians that are advising us suggest we have a higher class and charge them more. So the fee to join as a physician is...
It's $100 instead of $25 for me.
Yeah, and we're trying to make it easy because it's a lifetime membership, and you have to live in our area. So if you're listening from Connecticut, thank you very much. You can send a donation in, but you can't join as a member because you have to be living within the Chippewa Valley, defined by those 18 counties.
But we'll accept it if you want to move here.
We will. Welcome good new neighbors. We love good neighbors.
Okay. And the professional members, though, tell me about who that includes. I mean, I'm a professional radio broadcaster, so maybe I'm a professional member. This is medical, though, right?
Yes, this is medical. Physicians, nurse practitioners, nurses, I think, are included in that. Physician assistants, those levels. And we just thought it was important to distinguish those people. And those people that sign up as professionals, as a member, have to be able to work at our facility. So they have to be licensed. The reason I bring that up, because we have many retired physicians who are not licensed because they gave up that, but they're signing on as members. So they're professionals, but they can't be licensed. Therefore, they can't practice at the hospital.
Oh, okay. That's good. And again, let's circle back. I think you've made comments about this, but let's include them at this point, Bob. Why will the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative be better for neighbors than the other organizations who are also doing good in the area? I'm not talking down about them. I'm just, why will it do better for our neighbors?
I think that's pretty simple. Our neighbors who are receiving primary care from the physicians that will be practicing at our hospital now we'll have a medical home. Not all patients that the primary care doctors see need a hospital, but clearly some do. Now, if someone who's being serviced by a primary care doctor today says, you have to go to the hospital right now, there's no capacity at any local hospital. So that patient all of a sudden leaves their medical home. Now, that's traumatic for the patient, for the family, and the physician can't follow them. It is typically a physician in our area will not have privileges in Madison. They can refer patients there and they'll accept them. But in terms of that relationship, that's what's broken away.
And I was also curious, I'm assuming in putting this together, you looked to see if there were models in other areas of Wisconsin or in other states. Are health cooperative type groups existing elsewhere? Are there such hospitals elsewhere? I'm aware that Hillside Dental, I think, is owned by the dentists. That's where I've been having my teeth taken care of for a long time. So I'm assuming there's other models. When I grew up in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, we went to a medical clinic, which I think was likely a physician-owned cooperative, in essence. So I have a feeling that that used to exist much more commonly. Is this model that you're pursuing, is it copied or at least essence drawn from other examples you've seen around the country?
No. First of all, the Hillside Dental or the clinic in Oconomowoc were probably partnerships. So where these professionals, whether they're dentists or physicians, come together and form a partnership, and they're providing the service under one roof. That's typically how that's formed. This cooperative is totally different. We're not going to hire any physicians. We're not going to be partners with any physicians. This is owned by the people, and that's what's different. This is the first cooperative hospital in Wisconsin, and we think maybe even the country. There's very few. We're trying to collect data, not that it's important to us, but even around the country, this particular format is very unusual. We're breaking new ground with this. And what's one person said is it's like building an airplane while you're flying it. And that's true.
Wow. And taking on a big job. But of course, I guess retirement makes you have extra amount of nerve and verve.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to push back on you a little bit.
Thank you.
Because in doing the search about the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative, I put those words in and Eau Claire, our city. And one of the search items that came up was the Eau Claire Cooperative Health Center, which is not in Wisconsin. It's in South Carolina. It's in the Midlands of South Carolina. They have a river there called Eau Claire. I don't think they're doing what you're doing, but I was just tickled to think that there was a place called the Eau Claire Cooperative Health Center that might actually have had this energy. So maybe there was something about Eau Claire, the French words for clear water, that somehow is inspiring cooperative care for your neighbor type efforts.
There might be a spirit going through the water in both of our communities. No, I did not know about that, but the people that are helping us at the state level assured me that, there's no recipe book that they can give us showing us how to do this. And that's why we need their help. But I'm going to Google that when we're done, because that's very interesting. Thank you for that.
So, folks, we've been speaking with Bob Krause, formerly. You might find him on the website as Robert Krause, but he's one hell of a basketball player, and he's a planner, an accountant, and he's got really excellent abilities in terms of bringing people together, working together. And the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative looks now like it's going to happen in 2027. We should have a new building here with a new hospital. If you go to ChippewaValleyHealthCooperative.org, you'll find more information about them. There's been a flurry in the past week of press releases to share more about the definitive actions that they're taking right now. And what I'm really hoping is that our listeners across the country and maybe internationally are saying, maybe this is a way forward for healthcare in the United States, where the people can really take back their health and their direction and how we work together and care for each other and our neighbors.
Yes, that's 100% on the mark. And that's what the state is telling us. They believe that if we are successful, when we are successful, this is going to be a model that different parts of the country can employ. And I believe in this so much that I'm considering asking for a summit with the three hospital systems that are currently serving our area, so I can talk about this word competition and cooperation and ask them for their help. This is about the patients. And I want to meet with them hopefully sooner than later so I can ask for their help. And I'm going to be very aggressive because there's things that they can do right now to give us the push start if they're interested in patients.
Let's hope that they are. Maybe let's pray that they are. And let's work like crazy to make sure it happens. Bob, it's so wonderful to reconnect with you after all these years when we haven't met on the basketball court. I'm so proud of the work that you're doing, grateful for it. And I really think you're making the world a better place. Thanks for joining me for Spirit in Action.
Thank you, Mark. Have a great weekend. Thanks a lot.
And again, their website is ChippewaValleyHealthCooperative.org. Of course, the link's on NordenSpiritRadio.org. We'll see you next week for Spirit in Action.
The theme music for this program is Turning of the World, performed by Sarah Thompson. Check out all things Spirit in Action on northernspiritradio.org. Guests, links, stations, and a place for your feedback, suggestions, and support. Thanks for listening. I'm Mark Helpsmeet, and I hope you find deep roots to support you to grow steadily toward the light. This is Spirit in Action.
With every voice, with every song, we will move this world along, and our lives will feel the echo.